This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Bruchim Abayim. Welcome. Thank you for coming. Tonight's show is being sponsored by our good friend, Rav David Richter, as a Suda Soida, as a Suda of gratitude to Rebbein Shem for sparing him from a certain episode. Car accident?
Car accident.
Hashem should always watch over him, protect him from any mishaps. V'imale Hashem kol mishalas libach libcha l'toiva. David has always been a very good recruiter for the shul and for the shir. Kein yerbu. Okay. Rabbi, say we usually have the shir on a Wednesday night, and by the time Wednesday night comes, I've had the opportunity perhaps to say over some of the ideas to people, to audiences, and it's the ideas are somewhat more developed and polished. But Baruch Hashem, this week, this is information that you are the first individuals to be able to hear this information. And if to really derive the most benefit from tonight's shiur, you have to pay very close attention. Because we're going to be learning a lot of information, and each piece of information in and of itself has value, but to gain the full appreciation of the shiur, you need to see how all the pieces fit together. Okay. We all know the Shabbos, Haba Aleinu L'Toiva, is called Shabbos Nachamu. After the Haftarah that we lain, the Shabbos Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, where the Ribbono Shel Olam consoles Klal Yisrael. It's the week after Tisha B'Av, and we have a tradition that we lain Parshas, that we lain a Haftarah of Nachamu, the consolation for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That we're all familiar with. What many may not be familiar with is just like we have a tradition to always lain Nachamu, Haftarah of Nachamu, after Tisha B'Av, we equally have a tradition that the Parsha that we lain right after Tisha B'Av is Parshas Va'eschanan. Every single year, the Parsha that we lain right after Tisha B'Av is Parshas Va'eschanan. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, if you look at number two, Shulchan Aruch tells us this is our tradition. This is not just coincidental. This is not just something that can happen. This is specifically orchestrated and designated as the parsha that we lain immediately following Tisha B'Av. Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tav Chav Ches, Tisha B'Av Koidem Va'eschanan. Tisha B'Av immediately precedes Va'eschanan. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch goes so far as to say that there is a remez to remember that immediately after Tisha B'Av is Parshas Va'eschanan, and the remez is the following. Sumu Vitzailu. Sumu means fast. Tzailu means pray. What does this mean? Tzaymu, the Taz and the Magen Avraham explain. Sumu means fast. When do we fast? Tisha B'Av. Vitzailu and pray, that refers to Va'eschanan. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Va'eschanan el Hashem bo'esa hileymar. Of course, this week's Pasha talks about how Moshe Rabbeinu pleads with the Ribbono Shel Olam to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael, and unfortunately, Hashem was not able to accede to the request of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed entrance into Eretz Yisrael. This is the remez that the Shulchan Aruch gives. This is also brought down by the Torah. Tzaymu v'tzaylu. Fast and pray. Tisha B'Av v'eschanan. And what we want to try to understand is, if the Shulchan Aruch is giving us a remez, if the Torah is giving us a remez, there has to be a deeper meaning to the remez. It's not just some arbitrary, you know, quick, easy way to remember Tisha B'Av Va'eschanan, Tzaymu V'tzaylu. There has to be a deeper meaning. There's some connection between the fasting on Tisha B'Av and the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu Va'eschanan. Especially because this remez that Chazal are giving us, first Tisha B'Av and then Va'eschanan, it's not Tzaymu V'tzaloi, fast and a prayer. V'tzaylu is a command. It's saying you should pray. After Tisha B'Av, the Remez is telling us, Tzaymu, you should fast, Vitzaylu, and you should pray. Somehow, the Shulchan Aruch is giving us a command that just as Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael, the Shulchan Aruch is commanding us, after Tisha B'Av, Vitzaylu, pray. Pray to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. We have to try to understand this. Okay. We know when we say Kriya Shema, after we say the first parsha of Pasuk of Shema, Before we say the Yom Haftah, what do we say? Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Eleilam Ba'ed. And our custom is we say it quietly. What's the reason for this minhag? Right? If you look in Shema, in this week's parasha, right? Shema is, I believe, at Shishi in this week's parasha. You look at the Psukim, it says Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekeinu Hashem Echad, the Yom Haftah does not say anything about Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Eleilam Ba'ed. And yet, whenever we say Kriya Shema, we always insert Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Eleilam Ba'ed. Where does this come from? So the Gemara tells us in Masechet Psachim. The Gemara tells us on Daf Nun Vav number 5 that at the end of Yaakov Avinu's life, he calls to his children and he says, "Hey Osvu va'agid olachem, gather and I want to tell you something, my dear children. I've got something to tell you. You know what I would like to tell you? I would like to tell you when Mashiach is going to come." Right? That's a good scoop. Right? Imagine if Yaakov Avinu would tell us when Mashiach is coming, we'd call up all the journalists, we'd put it in the paper, right? Oh, it would be all over the radio, you turn on the radio, you'd hear Mashiach, you know, new report. Late breaking news, Mashiach is coming. That's what Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal. He was about to reveal when Mashiach was coming, and what happened? God's presence departed from him. Nistalka mimenu shechina. So Yaakov Avinu says, "Oy vey, why is God leaving me at this time? It must be, you know why God is leaving me? Because one of my descendants is not worthy. Just like Avraham had an unworthy descendant, Yishmael. Just like Yitzchak had an unworthy descendant, Esav. So too, I must have an unworthy descendant. Someone here, I don't know who it is, I don't know if it's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, who the one of you children is obviously not worthy, and that is why God has departed from me." So what did the children of Yaakov Avinu say? The children of Yaakov Avinu said, "Shema Yisrael, listen up Yisrael." In other words, they're talking to their father. Shema Yisrael is a command to Yaakov Avinu. Shema Yisrael, listen Yaakov. Hashem Elokeinu, just like you only believe in one God, we also only believe in one God. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Just like in your heart there's only belief in one God, in our heart there's only belief in one God. Yaakov Avinu says, "Yeah, is that the case? Is that so? Is that true that all of you believe in one God?" Whereupon Yaakov Avinu made the following declaration: "Baruch Shem Kavod Machusai Le'olam Va'ed." So now we have a great dilemma. Our dilemma is, when we say Shema, should we say Baruch Shem or should we not say Baruch Shem? What should we do? If we're going to say it, but Moshe Rabbeinu never said Baruch Shem. If we're not going to say it, but Yaakov Avinu said it. So therefore, what do? We say it quietly. Yeah, we don't know what to do. If we're going to say Baruch Shem, Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parasha didn't say Baruch Shem. If we're not going to say it, but Yaakov Avinu said it. So therefore, we make a compromise. We say it quietly. So we just want to address 2 points on this Gemara. Point number one is, Yaakov Avinu was critical of his children. He says, "I don't know what's going on over here. Why is God leaving me? Why has this information? Why don't I have access to it anymore?" Right? Yaakov Avinu was about to give the date of the coming of Mashiach. He had it. It was in his mouth, and then he lost it. You know. So Yaakov Avinu says, "It must be one of you guys. It must be someone here who's unworthy." They said, "No. Shema Yisrael, listen up, Yaakov. Hashem Lekeinu Hashem Echad." So what's Yaakov's answer? Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusei Olam Ba'ed. You know, Mashmita Itzah Hashem, what does that got to do with the price of tea in China? Yaakov Avinu hears that the Bnei Yisrael were saying, that his children were saying, Shema Yisrael. So what does he say? Blessed is the name of the honor of the kingdom of God forever and ever. I mean, what in the world? What is that? No, we don't even know what that means.
It's taken for God.
So say thank you. Mm-hmm. What's Baruch Shem? Nobody ever said those words before. Where did Yaakov dream up to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus? What does that got to do with anything? You want to thank Hashem? Say, Hoidu Hashem Ki Tov Kilam Chasa. What does Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusai have to do with anything? Blessed is the name of the glory of the kingdom of God. I mean, we don't even understand what that means. Out of the blue, Yaakov Avinu, he invented a new expression. Baruch Shem Kvod. Where does that come from? And also, what does the Gemara mean? We can't say Baruch Shem because Moshe didn't say it. So what? So what if Moshe didn't say it? But Yaakov said it. Did Moshe Rabbeinu say you're not allowed to say it? He just didn't say it. He has something against Baruch Shem. He has nothing against it. He happened in the Torah. It happened not to be there. But we know Yaakov Avinu said it. You know what? If it's good enough for Yaakov, it's good enough for me. I mean, did Moshe Rabbeinu say you're not allowed to say Baruch Shem? He just omitted it. Okay. Well, what's the problem with saying the Baruch Shem? Okay. The beginning of this week's parasha begins, Va'es Chanan El Hashem Va'es Ahi Lema. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I daven to Hashem at that time saying. What did Moshe Rabbeinu daven? He said like this, Hashem Elokim, God, Ata Hachiloisa Leharos Asavdecha, you have begun to show your servant. Es Godlecha, your greatness. V'es Yodcha HaChazak, and your strong hand. Asher Mikel Vashemayim Va'aretz Asher Yasech Ma'asecha V'chigvoyisecha. Who is like you, God? So now that Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, buttered up Hashem, he said, Hashem, you're the greatest, you're the greatest. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, comes in for the punch. Evrana, please let me cross over. V'era, that I should see. Es Ha'aretz HaToiva. Right? I want to cross the Jordan. I want to see the great mountain. What's the great mountain? What's Levanoin? Base HaMikdash. Moshe Rabbeinu goes, you know, when they said, Hashem, you're the greatest, you're the greatest, you're the greatest. Okay, now's the time. Please, let me go into Israel. I want to see the Base HaMikdash. So what did Hashem say? Vayisaber Hashem bi l'manchem. Hashem got angry at me because of Klai Yisrael. Vayemer Hashem Eli. Hashem said to me, Rav Lach, enough, stop davening. Al toisef daber Eli. Oh God, I don't want to hear another word, Moshe. Don't even open up your mouth to say one more word. You want to go into Israel? Keep your mouth closed. That's the beginning of the parasha. That's the beginning of the parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu praises God. Then he says, Hashem, please let me in. I want to see the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem says, not only are you not going to see the Beis HaMikdash, don't you dare say one more word. Don't open up your mouth. Says the Gemara, you know what you learned from here? Look at number 6, says the Medrash. Davar Acher, Bo'es Ahi Leymar. Mahu Leymar, Amar Rav Azarya, Leymar L'doyreis. Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell all future generations. Sheyiyu Mispalulin B'Shas Hatzara. That whenever you have difficulties in life, you should always daven. Why? Sharei Moshe. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, Afa pi shenem alai, even though God told him, Loi taver es hayarden azed, don't cross the Jordan, hischil mischanin, he began to pray. Says Gemara, you know what beautiful lesson you learned from Moshe Rabbeinu? That whenever a person has difficulties in life, and things are not going well, you know, the stocks are stagnant, they're, you know, they're not going up, and you're not getting the interview you wanted, and, you know, they're not listening to you at home, and... you know, your rabbi is not giving you enough honor. Your balabatim are, you know, they're not treating you right. Whatever it is, you got to daven. Whenever you have troubles in life, that's what you learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. That when you have a problem, you got to daven. I mean, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. This is the source in the Torah that you learn out, that when things are not going right, you daven? You learn that from Moshe? Rabbi said this should be the last place in the whole Torah to learn out that when things are not going well, you should daven. You know why?
He doesn't get his answer.
Because what did Hashem say to Moshe? Moshe davens, Hashem said, stop. Keep your mouth closed, I don't want to hear another word. Ah, what a beautiful source that when things are not going well, you should daven, right? Here, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem, please, I want to go into Eretz Yisrael and see your beautiful land. Hashem says, quiet, don't order another word. Ah, and this is the beautiful source in the Torah that when things are not going well, you should daven. I mean, you couldn't have picked a worse source. First of all, does anybody know, how many tefillos does Moshe Rabbeinu daven? 515 tefillos. You take a look at the Medrash, in number 10, the Medrash says, Uminayin shehispalo Moshe ba'isei haperek chamesh meos v'chamisha aser pa'amim. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 times? Sheneemar, because the pasuk says, Vo'es chanan el Hashem, Vo'es chanan b'gematria hachi havi. The numerical value of Vo'es chanan is 515. So just think about what's happening here. Right? The Chazal say, you know, what should a person do when things are not going well? Oh, do what Moshe did. What did Moshe do? He davened. And 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 he didn't stop davening again and 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 again. And Hashem is standing there like, you know, ha ha ha, look at that guy. He keeps on davening. I can't wait to tell him, right when he's about to get up to the tefillah that might have to do something, I'm going to tell him, don't utter another word.
It's like Chinese torture. Right? That's what's happening over here. Because Hashem tells Moshe, if you're going to utter the 516th tefillah, I'll have to answer you. So don't say the 516th tefillah. So what's Hashem doing? He's basically standing by, watching Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, kill himself. And then when he's about to daven the tefillah that might do something, Hashem says, stop. No, don't say that. Don't say that. Moshe, no, but I want, no, don't say that. Don't say that. I mean, this is the source that a person should daven the Isara. The one time where Hashem basically allows Moshe to kill himself until he gets to the brink of where his tefillah might accomplish something. And then Hashem said, no, don't say it. Now, Rabbi Isai, yeah. Also, tefillah, shira, tefillah, it's on the row 515. So what's going on? This is the source that a person should daven be'ez sarah from Moshe Rabbeinu who wasn't listened to? If I were to ask you, when we have this tefillah in this week's parasha, that Moshe Rabbeinu daven, he said, Ebrana, please let me cross over ve'ereh, that I should see, esa'aretz ha'toyva hazeh, right? Ebrana ve'ereh esa'aretz hazeh. Ebrana v'eres ha'aretz ha'toyva asher b'ever ha'yardein ha'har ha'toyv. This tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he wants to cross over and see the Yardein. Which number tefillah was that?
Must have been 515.
That must have been the 515th tefillah. And Hashem said, no, stop right there. Don't say one more. Don't say the 516th. Says the Chassam Sofer, no, we got it wrong. This tefillah that the Torah records, Ebrana, v'yares, ha'aratzatev asher be'ever ha'yardein ha'aratzatev, this tefillah the Torah records is not the 515th tefillah. This is the 516th tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to say and was thinking to say and was about to say and wished he could have said, but he didn't say it because Hashem said, don't say it. So says the Chassam Sofer, you learned in first grade and second grade and third grade and fourth grade and fifth grade and sixth grade and seventh grade and also in the shul that you went to last year that this was the 515th tefillah. No. Va'es Chanan itself is numerical value 515. But this tefillah that the Torah records is not the 515th tefillah. It's the 516th tefillah that Hashem said, don't say this tefillah. Because if you're going to say those magical words, Ebrana v'yera sarotateva asher b'yera yadein, then I'm going to have to answer you. And from here we see a person should always daven when things are not going well. Because you see that this tefillah, if Moshe would have said, Hashem would have answered. I mean, come on, it doesn't really answer the question at all. I mean, still, you could still ask a number of questions over here. That's, by the way, tonight's shir, the majority of the shir comes from a sefer, Likutei Mamarim Shvilei Pinchas, who is a very popular Baal Darshan in Eretz Yisrael. He's actually the leader of the Kailalim of the Belzer Chasidus. We've quoted him in the past, and you could actually get his weekly drasha in Hebrew and English. Yeah, thank you. What?
All the others were praying, children, stone.
Okay, but here, the source to daven at Sarah, at the time of Sarah, is where Hashem told Moshe, you don't know. Don't even, not only did Hashem not answer Moshe, Hashem said, I don't want to hear it out of your mouth. So first of all, we want to know, if Hashem did not answer the first 515 tefillos of Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the source that when things are going bad, you should daven? If anything, to me, this is a source that when things are going bad, you shouldn't daven. Because here, look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Things were going bad. He davened 515 times. And each time, guess what Hashem said? No, 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 no. So this is the source that you should daven be'ez sarah. Had Moshe Rabbeinu davened his head off, and every time Hashem said no. Number two, does that make any sense? That Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest human being who ever lived, he davened for something 515 times, and every time Hashem said no? I mean, does that sit well with you?
that Moshe Rabbeinu, he's sitting there davening to Hashem. He's given his whole life for Klal Yisrael. And every time he davens, God says no. And to top it off, the cherry on top is, when he's about to say the one tefillah that could help, Hashem said, I don't even want to hear it. Not only is the answer no, don't even say it. What were they? I don't know. Whatever it was. That's beyond the scope of tonight's lecture. In other words, I don't know. Right? What? Yes.
Possible that it was progression, not a repetition, that he was working up towards something that would have been the process of tefillah, and the progression that we get better and better towards our desire to have it fulfilled, or that's not?
It's certainly possible. Certainly possible. But still, Moshe Rabbeinu, he hadn't reached a high enough level after 515 times. What was lacking? What was lacking? And number three, if the 516th tefillah is this tefillah that the Torah records that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, why is the Torah recording a tefillah that God told Moshe Rabbeinu not to say? Right? In other words, this tefillah is not the 515th. It's the 516th Moshe wanted to say, and Hashem said, don't say this tefillah. So why do we need to know a specific tefillah that Moshe wanted to say and Hashem told him not to say? Okay. We come to a most amazing Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Pesachim, number 12. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mai Dechsev. There's a pasuk in Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Beis, pasuk Gimel. V'holchu amim rabim, many nations will go. V'amru, and they'll say, L'chu v'nale el har Hashem. We will go up to the mountain of God, el beis elekei Yaakov, to the house of the God of Yaakov. In other words, one day the Goyim will say, we want to go to the beis HaMikdash, which is called the house of Yaakov. So the Gemara wants to know, why is the beis HaMikdash called the house of Yaakov? What do we have against Abraham and Yitzchak, you know? They're probably going to get insulted if they read this pasuk. The Goyim are going to say, we want to go to the house of Yaakov. You know, what do we have against Avraham and Yitzchak? Says the Gemara, Elekei Yaakov, v'lo Elekei Avraham v'Yitzchak. The Beis HaMikdash is the house of the God of Yaakov, not the house of the God of Avraham Yitzchak. Says the Gemara, a very interesting comment. Loike Avraham shekasev b'har. The Beis HaMikdash will not be called the name that Avraham called it, mountain. Shenemar, how do we know Avraham called it a mountain? Asher yomar hayom b'har Hashem yeirah. Avraham said about Har HaMoriah, it will be said that God appeared on the mountain of God. V'loik Yitzchak, not like Yitzchak, shekasev b'yisada, that Yitzchak called it a field. Shenemar, like the pasuk says, v'yeitze Yitzchak lasuach b'yisada. Yitzchak went out to pray in the field. Ela Yaakov, they're going to use the name of Yaakov. Yaakov called it what? Bayis, shekaru bayis shenemar vayikra eshem hamakai mahu beisel. Yaakov calls the Beis HaMikdash bayis. Avraham calls it har, mountain. Yitzchak calls it sadeh, field. Yaakov calls it bayis, house. What in the world is the Gemara talking about? First of all, Yaakov calls it mountain. What was he thinking? Why is the Beis HaMikdash called a mountain? Yitzchak calls it a field? What kind of name is a field? And Yaakov calls it a house? Okay. We're about to listen in on a conversation between two individuals that one may never have thought they even met or even spoke. But this is a most fascinating conversation that two great Gedolim had. It's a conversation between Reb Aaron Mibelz, the Belzer Rebbe, and Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Zeche Tzak Vrach Hashem Yim Kam Damai. Rabbi Chanan, one of the Gedolei Lita, right? One of the great Rosh Yeshivas of pre-war Europe, and Rabbi Aaron Belzer, one of the great Admoirim of Chassidus, pre-war Chassidus. And they're having a conversation. And what are they talking about? They're talking about Beis HaMikdash Shamala, the heavenly Beis HaMikdash. We have a tradition. We say, Yerushalayim HaBenuya, Keir Shechubra LaYachta. Yerushalayim is like the city that's attached to it. What city is attached to Yerushalayim? You go to Yerushalayim today, there is no... It's not like Dallas and Fort Worth, right? Sister cities. There's no city attached to Yerushalayim. What does it mean in Tehillim that Yerushalayim has a city attached to it? Says the Gemara, Yerushalayim Shalmala Mechuber Keneged Yerushalayim Shalmata. The heavenly Jerusalem corresponds directly to the earthly Jerusalem. And we have a tradition, Beis HaMikdash Shalmala, the heavenly Beis HaMikdash corresponds to the earthly Beis HaMikdash. And they were discussing the following Medrash. The Medrash tells us, who built Beis HaMikdash Shalmala? Who built it? Who built it? What did they do? They went to Home Depot and they got some, you know, foreigners on the, you know, for cheap labor, and they brought them up to Shemaim.
Shlomo gets a chiram.
What? The Beis HaMikdash Shalmala. Who built the Beis HaMikdash Shalmala?
Oh.
Says the Medrash, God came with his camp, he built the first wall. Abraham came, he built the second wall. Yitzchak came, he built the third wall. Yaakov came, he built the fourth wall. Moshe Rabbeinu built the roof. Got that? Okay, you're going to be tested later. Hashem built with his camp the first wall. Abraham built the second wall. Yitzchak built the third wall. Yaakov built the fourth wall. Moshe built the roof. Explains the Mikubalim in the following way. This is what Rabbi Aaron Mibelza told Rabbi Chanan Basel. God came with his machane. Take the word machane. Men, ches, nun, hey. What is the numerical value of machane? Mem is 40, ches is 8, 48. Nun is 50, 98. Hey is 5, 103. The first wall of the Beis HaMikdash was built by the machane of God, 103. Who built the second wall? Abraham. What did Abraham call the Beis HaMikdash? Remember this, Rachamim, this part? Abraham called the second Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, what? Har. What's the numerical value of Har?
205.
But we know in numerical value you could add one. Im HaKoyla. Right, by the way, we learned this out from Rashi on this week's parasha. It's a real thing. Rashi, V'noishantem, we'll talk about it later. Har is 205.
206.
Machaneh was what?
206.
Machaneh.
103.
Har is the second wall. 206. Double Machaneh. Yitzchak comes along, he calls Beis HaMikdash Sadeh. What is the numerical value of Sadeh?
309.
309. Sadeh. Sin, 300. Dalet, 4. Hey, 5, 309. 103 times?
3.
Okay, the first wall, Machaneh, 103. Second wall, Har, 206. Third wall, Sadeh, 309. Yaakov Avinu comes and he builds the fourth wall.
Bayis.
What does he call the Beis HaMikdash?
Bayis.
What's the numerical value of Bayis? 412. That's the fourth wall. Who comes and puts the roof down?
Moshe
Rabbeinu. How? Voes Chanan. How many is Voes Chanan? 515. 5 times 103. Okay, it's mamish half of a fella. The first wall, Machaneh, is 103. Not bad, right? The first wall of Machaneh is 103. The second wall, Har, is 206. The third wall, Sadeh, 309. The fourth wall, Bayis, 412. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and puts down the roof, 515. So was Moshe Rabbeinu answered or was he not answered? Of course he was answered. Moshe Rabbeinu daven 515 tefillos. Now one of his tefillos went in vain. Every single tefillah was answered. How was it answered? He built the Beis HaMikdash through his 515 tefillos. So you'll ask, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to daven another 515 times? Why couldn't he just add 103? Because when you put a roof on something, the roof connects all five parts. So it's not enough just to daven 103 times. You need to daven 103 for the roof and for each of the four walls. The roof connects all the parts of the... So, Moshe Rabbeinu, was he answered or was he not answered? He was answered. And that is what the explanation for the Chassam Sofer. That, of course, you know where the source in the Torah that you should daven at a time of Tzara is? Moshe Rabbeinu. But you'll ask, what do you mean, Moshe Rabbeinu? God said, no. No, wrong. God said, yes. Every tefillah of Moshe was answered. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, let me daven one more. One more. Because after I've built Beis HaMikdash Shalmala, while I'm at it, let's build
Let me build Beis HaMikdash Shomata. Hashem said, no, we're not ready for Mashiach yet. We're not ready for Mashiach yet. But the source in the Torah that a person should daven b'eis tzara is from Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you mean by Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't answered? He was answered. And he was answered, yes. Every tefillah Moshe uttered was answered in the affirmative. Okay, now we're going to add one prat to what we just said. Rashi and Tosfos in Masechta Sukkah say the following. Okay, raise your hand if you want Mashiach to come. Okay, okay. The third Beis HaMikdash, who's going to build it? Who's going to build it?
It's going to come down from heaven.
It's going to come down with it.
Oh, it's going to come down from heaven, right? That's what, right? That's what we learned in kindergarten, remember? That the third Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from heaven. Right? Chol Masesh, that's what we say, a fiery Beis HaMikdash. By the way, this is not just, this is true. This is absolutely true. Rashi in Masechta Sukkah, look at number 15. Rashi tells us, Avo Mikdash Ha'asid Sha'anu Mitzapin, the third Beis HaMikdash that we hope for, Banoi U'meshuchlalhu, is built and completely formed. Hu Yigala V'yavim Mishamayim, it will be revealed from heaven. In other words, when Mashiach comes, everyone's going to stand back, you know, take out their cameras, and the Beis HaMikdash is going to pop down. That's what Rashi says. Okay, something like that, yeah. By the way, Tosfos also says that. Tosfos says you have to say like Rashi, the third Beis HaMikdash is not going to be built, it will be revealed. It will come down from heaven. That's what Rashi and Tosfos say. Comes along the Aruch Lener of Yaakov Etlinger, one of the G'dolei Ho'achroinim. And Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger says, no, this is, nah. Come on. The third Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from heaven? That's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, in Hilchos Malachim, look at number 17, HaMelech HaMashiach Osir Lamoid Ulahachzir Malchus Beis David, the king of Mashiach, he's going to return Malchus Beis David. Ubayna Mikdash! He's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. It's not going to come down from heaven. The Mashiach's going to build it. And in fact, the Gemara in Sukkah, on Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis says, Vayareini Hashem Arba Charoshim, there's a pasuk in Zechariah, that God showed Zechariah four craftsmen. Who are the four craftsmen? One of them was Mashiach ben David. One of them was Mashiach ben Yosef. Says Rashi, why are they called craftsmen? Because they're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Ask the Aruch Lener, if the Beis HaMikdash is coming down from heaven, then what do you need them to be big craftsmen for? They don't have to do anything. They just got to watch it pop down. What's the Gemara saying? That Mashiach is a big craftsman. He doesn't have to do anything. Says the Aruch Lener, let me tell you a little secret. Aruch Lener says in number 20, Rashi is correct, Tosfos is correct, the Rambam is correct, and the Gemara in Sukkah is correct. How could they all be correct? Who's going to build the Beis HaMikdash? Is it going to come down from Shemayim? Or are we going to build the Beis HaMikdash? Says the Aruch Lener, everyone is right. The same way a Jewish body, a Jewish person, has a guf and has a neshama, has a body and a soul, the Beis HaMikdash will be built through human hands by the Melech HaMashiach, through the four craftsmen. But when the Beis HaMikdash is built, at that point, the heavenly Beis HaMikdash will descend into the physical Beis HaMikdash as a soul fills the body.
Who said that?
The Aruch Lener of Yaakov Etlinger. Okay, take a look at number 20. About 10 lines down. L'cheno yinir l'anias daiti. Devadai Beis HaMikdash. Because the Aruch Lener says, if the Beis HaMikdash is just going to pop down from heaven, what do we daven? We shouldn't daven it should be built. We should daven sheyigala Beis HaMikdash. It should be revealed. Says Aruch Lener, it will be built and it will be revealed. How's that possible? B'lachin ha'yanir l'anias daiti devadai Beis HaMikdash la'asid lava yivne binyan mamish b'deyatim. Definitely when Mashiach comes, the Beis HaMikdash will be built through human hands. Uma shenemar, and that which it says, Mikdash Hashem koinenu yadecha, that it will come down from heaven. Hu Beis HaMikdash ruchani, that's referring to the spiritual Beis HaMikdash. Sheyavai l'toich Beis HaMikdash, that will enter the physical edifice, Hanivne Gashmi Kineshama B'Teichag. Very interesting. Amazing explanation. That the physical Beis HaMikdash we will build, And then after that, the spiritual Beis Hamikdash will fill it up like a soul fills a body. So it comes out, who built the Beis Hamikdash Shamala?
The Avos.
The Avos. Who gave it the final touch? Moshe Rabbeinu. With what? With the tefillah of Eschanan, 515 tefillos. But then Moshe says, you know, once I've prayed for Beis Hamikdash Shamala, let me daven to be able to build Beis Hamikdash Shamata. To which God says, no, we're not ready for that. Don't say that tefillah. Don't say that to me.
Yeah, that's simple. If it was building, it was getting connected?
Yeah, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have built it, we have a tradition, it would never be destroyed, and the Beis Hamikdash Shamala would descend, and that would be the rest is history.
So neither one, the first and the second were connected?
No, it didn't descend. The Shekhinah was there, but we didn't have this concept yet. Okay. So very interesting, very interesting. So now we've explained why the source in the Torah to daven at a time of difficulty is because Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah was not rejected, it was accepted. But we still are not exactly sure why, if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't daven this tefillah of Eschanan, right? He didn't daven the 516th tefillah. Why is it in the Chumash? Why is the Torah writing about a tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to say and he didn't say? Okay. Very interesting. We say, V'haya b'yayim ha'hu. It will be on that day. Right? You know the song?
1915.
V'haya b'yayim ha'hu. Yitaka b'shofar gadol. God will blow the big shofar. V'hayu ha'ivdim b'yaretz Ashur. V'hanidachim b'yaretz Mitzrayim. The people who are lost in Egypt, they'll come back for hishtachavu l'Hashem. Rabbeisai, who are these people who are lost in Egypt? You know, get them a GPS or something. Who are these Jews who are lost in Egypt? Who are they? Why are they still lost? They're still lost? Who are they? Says the Bnei Yisachar, we have a tradition, v'chamushim, all the Bnei Yisachar, that's the time. What percent of Jewish people left Mitzrayim?
20%.
20%. The other 4/5 are fardarben, right? You know what that means? They're lost. They died in Mitzrayim. They died in Mitzrayim. When Mashiach comes, they're going to leave Mitzrayim. They're going to leave Mitzrayim. By the way, Rabbeinu Bechaye tells us that the 42 Masais in Parshas Maaseh, we're going to do it again. We're going to do it again, right? From here to here. What are the 42 Masais? Merivla, Leshcha, right? I don't know. They're different, the 42 Masais. What? Chashmina is the 25th, right? So they made 42 stops. From here to here, from A to B, B to C, C to D, right? And here, back and forth. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, we know that how the way that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim is the paradigm, is the pre-enactment of the way the Gula HaSida will be. And if when we left Mitzrayim we made 42 stops, then when Mashiach comes, we're going to make 42 stops in the desert before we get to Eretz Yisrael. We need 42 stops in the desert. We're not in the desert, we're in America. You know? What do we have to go to the desert for? So, Likutei Maharam explains, if the 80% of the Jews, they died in Mitzrayim, and when Mashiach comes, they're going to leave Mitzrayim. They're going to leave Mitzrayim in the same exact way that the 20% left Mitzrayim the first time around. These Uboho Oibzim Yeretz Asher Vanidach Yeretz Mitzrayim, how are they going to leave Egypt? The same way, like Rabbeinu Bechaye says, they're going to make the same 42 stops. Rabbi Sai, and who's going to take them out of Mitzrayim? Moshe! By the way, the Zayar says in many places, he quotes, who is going to be Mashiach? Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you mean? Mashiach has to come from David HaMelech? So we already learned once, Arachayim HaKadosh in Parashat Ayichi asks this question, and he says it's not a question. Moshe Rabbeinu includes in him all 600,000 Jews. So in him is all branches of greatness in Judaism. That's how he was able to be the Melech, and the Chacham, and the Navi, and the Levi. He had everything. He had Malchus also. How do we know Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be Mashiach? There's a pasuk in Koheles. Ma Shehaya Hu Sheyia. What was will be. Rashi Teva, he says, Archaim HaKadosh, Ma Mem, Shehaya, Shin, Hu, Hey, Moshe. Moshe did it the first time, he's going to do it the second time. Why does he have to do it the second time? He did it the first time for 20% of Klal Yisrael. He's going to have to, you know, as I say, take two, go back, take out Ubahu ha'ivdim bi'eretz ha'ashur v'anidachim bi'eretz Mitzrayim, take out the other 80%. He's going to take the same circuitous route, the same 42 masais. And in fact, that is why the Medrash tells us Moshe Rabbeinu was not buried in Eretz Yisrael, so that he could take with him, when he gets up, all the Jews that died in Mitzrayim and in the Midbar. That's what the Medrash tells us. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said, what, you want to go into Eretz Yisrael? What are people going to say? They're going to say, you led the Jews out of Mitzrayim, and you were the only one who entered, and the rest of them died behind. So it's not right. You stay behind with them, so when you get up, you'll schlep everybody else with you. That's what the Medrash tells us. So what we're learning is that there is a great majority of Klal Yisrael that never made it out of Mitzrayim. They're lost in Mitzrayim. And they will one day take these 42 Masais being led by Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Zohar says. That's what the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says. Whatever that means exactly. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to daven one more tefillah. What was that tefillah? He said, God, I was successful in building Beis HaMikdash Shel Mala. Please, I would like to be able to build Beis HaMikdash Shel Mala. I already built the roof with through 515. I want to build Ha'ara HaTevazeh V'Halavanon, the 516th tefillah. But what did God tell Moshe? Don't say it. But we do say it. When do we say it? Says the Arizal, listen to this. Yiskadel, v'yiskadesh, shemei, rabbah. Rashi Tevos, yud, vav, shin, resh. Yosha. What are we davening for? Yiskadel, v'yiskadesh, shemei, rabbah. The Tosfos and Masechta Brachos, by the way, the Daf Yomi, they're starting when? Thursday? So now we have to learn Friday's daf. Everybody learns the first of daf beis, right? That's not a big deal. Daf beis, everybody learns. Daf gimel, you know, that's a big madrega already. So we're going to learn something on daf gimel, so that when after you finish daf beis, you'll be able to say, yeah, daf gimel, yeah, of course I know daf gimel. On daf gimel, the Gemara tells us like this. And it's quoted in number 37. Rabbi Yossi was once in a ruin, a churba. And he meets Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi says, what did you hear in this ruin? So Rabbi Yossi said, let me tell you. I heard the sound of God moaning like a dove. And God was saying, oh, woe to my children, that because of their sins I had to destroy my Beis HaMikdash and burn the Heichal and exile them from their land. And this voice said, you should know, I don't say this once or twice. Every time the Jews daven, God moans the fact, bemoans the fact he had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Gemara continues. Whenever Klal Yisrael enters a shul, and they answer, Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah, God shakes his head, Ay, fortunate is the king that they praise him like this. Woe to the father who had to exile his children. Woe to the children who have been exiled. In other words, somehow, every time we say Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mivarach, that bestirs God, that awakens God, that arouses God to want to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Gemara is telling. Daf Gimel, okay? So when you get after you do Daf Beis, and somebody says, you know anything on Brachas Daf Gimel? You say, of course. The Gemara in Daf Gimel, Rabbi Yossi said that whenever we answer Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah, it arouses God to want to build the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Says Tosfos on Daf Gimel. You can even learn a Tosfos on Daf Gimel. Says Tosfos, Yehei Shmei. Take the word Shmei. Shmei is really two words. Shmei is shame, and then Yud K. Yehei Shmei, the name Yud K, which is only half of God's name, Rabbah, we want it to fill up. We want fill up with what? With the second half, with the Vav and the Hey. Right, we know until the Beis HaMikdash is built, until Amalek is defeated, God's name now in this world is only two letters, Yud and a K, Yud and then the Hey. But when Mashiach comes, the Vav and the Hey will be added. That's why some say Geula means Ga'al. What will be redeemed? Vav Hey. Geula. Ga'al, Vav Hey. The Vav Hey will be added to the Shem Yud Kei. That's what Tosfos says. Whenever we answer Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah, what we're davening for is that the Yud Kei, the Shem Yud Kei, should be completed. By the way, the Torah says that's what we have in mind when we say Yisgadel, the Yisgadesh, Shmei Rabbah. The Shem Yud Kei should be made greater. How? With the building of Mashiach, with the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Yud Kei, the Vav and the Hey will be added to the Yud and the Hey. Says the Arizal, Yiskadel, the Yiskadesh, Shemei Rabbah, Rashi Tevois, Yosha, right? Yiskadel, the Yiskadesh, Shemei Rabbah. What is the numerical value of the first letter of Yiskadel, the Yiskadesh, Shemei Rabbah?
516.
516. 516. 16 or 17. Moshe Rabbeinu davened. How many tefillos? 515. God said, don't say one more. But we do say one more. What's the last tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to say? Let me in. Build the Beis HaMikdash. What's our way of saying it? Yiskadel, the Yiskadesh, Shemei Rabbah, that equals 516. That's the 516th tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem said, don't say it, Moshe. But we say it. We don't say it, we say the Targum. We say the Targum of it. We don't say it exactly. It's like the same way we could say quietly, we say the Targum. So Hashem said, Moshe, don't say the final tefillah that my name should be complete. Don't say, Ebrana ve'eras arzat ve'shaza. Don't say it. But we say it. We hint to it. How? Yiskadel v'yiskadesh shmei Rabbah. Now listen to this. Listen to this. I'm in between numbers. Listen to this. We learned in the Gemara Pesachim that when Yaakov Avinu was a little suspicious of his children, he said, maybe one of you guys, there's something wrong here. So they said, what did they say? Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekeinu Hashem Echad. What did Yaakov Avinu say? Baruch Shem. Wait a second. If you look in the Targum Yerushalmi, there are different Targum. There's Targum Onklus, there's Targum Yonas and Menuziel, there's Targum Yerushalmi. If you look in Targum Yerushalmi on the Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, the Targum number 35, the Targum Yerushalmi tells us that the children of Yaakov said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And what would we expect the Targum Yerushalmi to tell us that Yaakov said? Baruch Shem Kohen Malchus Shalom Bayit. Nope, that's not what the Targum says. You know what the Targum says Yaakov said? Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach L'Alam Olamei Omei. Wait a second. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says Yaakov said what? Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Shalom Bayit. How could the Targum Yerushalmi argue on the Gemara? The Gemara says he said Baruch Shem. Targum says he said Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach. It's the same thing. It's the exact same tefillah. What does it mean? Blessed is the name of His glorious kingdom forever. In other words, we want God's glorious kingdom to be Mevarach, blessed, full. Which is the Hebrew of Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach La'olam Miyom Me'amai. In other words, Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach is the Targum of the words Baruch Shem. Now, Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach, which is a tefillah that God's name should be complete, did God want Moshe Rabbeinu to say that tefillah?
Yes.
What did Hashem say to Moshe when Moshe was about to say it?
Don't say it.
So if Hashem told Moshe, don't say Yiskadel v'Yiskadel Shmei Rabbah, don't say Yehei Shmei Rabbah. In essence, which tefillah was Hashem telling Moshe, don't say? Baruch Shem! So we are now zoicha to a new understanding of the Gemara. The Gemara, this is what we're adding. The Gemara doesn't mean to say, Moshe Rabbeinu just never said Baruch Shem, you know, he never thought of it. Not he never thought of it. God told him, don't you dare say it! Because if Hashem said, don't say tefillah number 516, And the Arizal says tefillah number 516 is what? Yeheshmei Rabbah. And Yeheshmei Rabbah is the translation of Baruch Shem. In essence, what God was saying is, don't you dare say Baruch Shem. So Yaakov Avinu says Baruch Shem, but Moshe, not just he doesn't say it, God tells him, don't say Baruch Shem. You hear how God says, don't say Baruch Shem? Because Moshe wanted, Rabbeinu wanted to say number 516. Number 516 is Yiskadel v'Yiskadel Shmei Rabbah, which is the same thing the Torah says as Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach. And Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach is the translation of Baruch Shem. So God is telling Moshe, don't say Baruch Shem. But now we could get an understanding of the Gemara in Brachas Daf Gimel, that every time we say Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach, we are arousing God to longingly want to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Because this is the one tefillah that we are guaranteed, if we say it properly, will build the Beis HaMikdash. How do we know that? Because Hashem said to Moshe, don't say that. If you say it, I'm going to have to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's why throughout the Gemara, every time Klal Yisrael answers Yehei Shmei Rabbah properly, that creates great gaguin, great longing for Hashem to build the Beis HaMikdash. And perhaps, what?
What do you understand from the tefillah that he said, don't say Baruch Shem Kivur Malchuto?
In other words, somehow the Arizal is saying that there is a deep-seated connection between this tefillah, this 516th tefillah that Hashem told Moshe not to say, and Yiskadel v'Yiskadel Shmei Rabbah, which the Arizal says has in it this an element of the 516th tefillah.
But he said the tefillah himself is not written in the past.
It's written, but this is what he wanted to say in Hashem to don't say.
Could it be that Hashem said, wait till the time's not right yet to say it?
Right. We're not authorized to say it fully. But in any event, the tefillah Yehei Shmei Rabbah somehow is a me'ain. It's a novel. It's a microcosm. In some way, a touch, a taste of the 516th fan. By the way, the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos tells us, anyone who answers Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach B'chol Koichai, it says Karin Loi Gzar Dinai. They rip up his Gzar Din. The Zohar says Karin Loi Gzar Dinai Shal Shivim Shana. They tear up a 70-year decree. So I was wondering, I was thinking this morning, you know what? It says somewhere that if you say Amin Yehei Shmei Rabbah, God will tear up a 70-year decree. And I didn't see it in the Zohar. Okay? That's not where I got it from. But I was like, where did I get it from? The Torah, when the Torah quotes over the Gemara and Shabbos, he quotes it over the same way as the Zohar says it. That if someone says Yehei Shmei Rabbah with his Kavana, God will tear up a 70-year decree. You know what that may mean? What 70-year decree was there? That the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed for Shivim Shana. Now the second Beis HaMikdash is not, we once had a shir, is not really... was not considered the real Beis HaMikdash. It was the first Beis HaMikdash and the third Beis HaMikdash. But perhaps what the Gemara means is, if we say Yehei Shmei Rabbah with our Kavana, God will tear up the decree of 70 years. In other words, the decree that the first Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed. This is the tefillah that could rebuild the first Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Likutei Mamarim suggests that when the Shulchan Aruch gives us a siman, it's not just a way to remember. After the Tainus of Tisha B'Av, Tzaymu, and then Vitzailu. It's just a nice thing. First Tisha B'Av and then Rosh Chodesh. No. After you fasted on Tisha B'Av for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there is something you could do about it. Vayeschanan. Add to the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. The one tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to say. And which tefillah was that? That's 516. That's Yehei Shmei Rabbah. We should be zeichah that this tefillah should accomplish what it needs to.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.